A public hearing has been scheduled on a Republican bill that overhauls the state's 110-year-old civil service system, which affects about 30,000 state employees. The Senate Labor and Government Reform Committee scheduled a 7-hour hearing for October 6th on the measure. The bill would do away with the civil service exam. It would speed up the hiring process. It would define just cause for disciplining employees and eliminate bumping rights that protect more experienced workers from losing their jobs. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, September 30th. So do you support or oppose efforts to overhaul the civil service system in Wisconsin? That is today's big question. We have with us one of the authors of this legislation and a critic of the legislation. And we welcome your questions and your answers to today's big question. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guests. Roger Roth is a Republican state senator from Appleton. He is co-author of this bill to overhaul Wisconsin's civil service system. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
And Scott Ross joins us. He is executive director of One Wisconsin Now. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning, Senator.
Let us start with Senator Ross, since you are calling for the change. In your opening statement, why should Wisconsin overhaul its civil service system?
Well, I think it's important to note that Wisconsin was one of the first states to adopt a civil service system in 1905, born out of a very real necessity. Bob La Follette at the time said that our civil service system, the motto, is only the best shall serve, and we want to hold that ideal to be as true in 2015 as it was in 1905. Nothing in this bill goes at the core of what our civil service system is. The tenets that say you cannot be fired or suspended or docked in pay except for just cause, that is still in place. The statutes that say you can't get a job because of political affiliation, or you cannot be denied employment because of political affiliation, those stay in place. So nothing that we are doing changes the core of what our civil service system is. The question we are trying to address, the problem we are trying to address, is the fact that in 10 years' time, 40% of our state employees are going to be eligible for retirement. The baby boomer generation is nearing that phase, and we have to make sure that our civil service laws in 2015 and 2025 are prepared to handle that amount of change. I've heard far too often from members of the agencies that it is too hard to hire people, the process is too long, and that they're losing good applicants along the way. So that is the impetus behind the reforms that you see that we introduced last week. We are trying to make it easier to attract good workers. We have things in there, which I'm sure we'll talk about, merit pay, which will help us retain those good workers. And that is the core of what this reform system is seeking to rectify.
We will get into those specifics as we go along. Scott, in your opening statement, why are you against the proposed changes?
Well, because this is going to create more cronyism, more corruption, and more incompetence that we've seen under Governor Walker and the Republicans running state government. This is going to pack state agencies with partisan hacks, and it's going to pack state agencies with people susceptible to partisan influence, and it is going to be a terrible deal for taxpayers, most importantly.
Well, specifically, how is this going to result in cronyism and corruption?
Well, for one thing, they're putting all of the hiring into the Department of Administration, which means there would be one place where all the resumes would go. Then they'd go through all their personal checklists that we're not going to be able to see anything about, such as checking the recall petition to see if anybody tried to recall members of the legislature on the Republican side or Governor Walker, the fact that they're going to allow people to be fired more easily, the fact that they're going to create a system in which if you want to get some sort of financial advancement, your mission will be to toe the political party line rather than do what's best for taxpayers.
Senator Roth, what kinds of safeguards will be in place to prevent political patronage from taking place?
I got to say, Scott, with all due respect, I disagree with every point that you mentioned there. If you look at what we've done in this bill, we have not changed the core of what the civil service system is. So the safeguards we have right now to protect against political patronage, those still exist in state statute. DPM right now oversees the exam process when it comes to hiring state employees. Nothing changes except that instead of using the exam, they're using a resume. So everything you're saying is absolutely incorrect. Nothing in this reform bill will lead to more political patronage than you may see already right now.
Well, but Senator Roth, doesn't the exam show if somebody, you know, specifically knows a particular area more so than a resume?
No, absolutely not. So right now our exam process, there's two kinds of exams that a state employee can take. Both one is a multiple choice, another is a written exam. So you have a objective inventory questionnaire. It's a multiple choice exam that asks some specific questions related to their proficiency. The trouble is that who knows what they're putting on there? I'll give you an example. For a facilities maintenance specialist, the first question is relates to experience inspecting HVAC. It's a multiple choice, A, B, C, or D. A, I have no training education in this task. B, I am self-taught on this task. C, I have informal training on this task. D, I have formal training or education on this task. So if you wanted to guarantee an interview, well, how would you answer that question? And that's the problem with the exam, is that it doesn't take into effect the employees or the potential employees' actual experience. It just goes off of how they fill out a questionnaire. So we're finding that people are being sent to the interview process who have absolutely no experience. There was an individual applying to be an accountant. Through no fault of his own, he takes the exam. The DPM sends the top five exam scores on, and it turns out during the interview process that the number one applicant that they were interviewing, the one who scored the highest on the test, was a short order cook. And that just goes to show that the exam process has outlived its effectiveness. Everything they seek to ask in the exam, both the written and the multiple choice, is things you find right in the resume. It shows your relevant work experience. It shows your relevant training and education. So we can simplify that process and shorten up that hiring timeline by getting rid of this archaic exam process, and we can do so without leading to political patronage that Scott's worried about.
So, Scott, what about that?
Well, first of all, we are going to hear this throughout this debate, and this is what you've heard since they rolled this out after Governor Walker came off of the campaign trail. And it is one example of one person who has one story. And the fact is that this is anecdotal nonsense. It is not in practice what's going to happen. The fact is that we have seen over and over and over again the Republicans trying to consolidate their power with state government. They've done it by attacking the John Doe laws. They've done it by now they're going to undo the Government Accountability Board. They tried to prevent us from having open records. They have created systems that, you know, reward their political patrons rather than doing the state's business. So you haven't earned our trust because we've seen your record. And I would point, you know, we have an example of this happening, Joy, right now. We have an agency which exists in which they have done exactly what they wanted to do. And that is the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, where we have seen 60% of our tax dollars put there, $600 million go to Governor Walker's campaign donors. We have seen, you know, basically money wasted that was supposed to go to job creation numbers over and over over again. We have seen with Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation where they took away civil service protections in practice, be a complete and total failure, and only serve the interests of Governor Walker and the Republicans' campaign donors. And so that's why I think Senator Roth, when folks like me are saying, wait a second, these, you know, couple examples that you show do not warrant an overhaul of state government that would put more cronyism, corruption, and incompetence into state government. I think that it's your track record that has us being skeptical.
Senator Roth, I'll have you respond to Scott's lack of trust there, but also a listener on Twitter says, the civil service exams are blind. No name is given. The resume system allows for partisan weeding. So what about that?
DPM would the same thing they do with the exam process right now where they take the names off And just so everyone's aware, people still submit resumes right now. They're just not used in the screening process. We're going to get rid of the exam because it's archaic and go to the resume where they will do the same thing. They will take off names and any information not relevant to work experience and formal education relevant to that particular job. So when they score an exam, it'll be the same way they're scoring a resume right now. They're going to take off all of that information that personal identifiable information and just look at the job performance in the education related to the job that they're going for. After they are scored, then they are passed down to the interviewers with the full resumes just as they are today. But we are in the what we're doing is we're sidestepping a process that has outlived its effectiveness.
We have news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio coming up next, and then we'll continue debating today's big question. Do you support or oppose an overhaul of Wisconsin's civil service system? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is The Big Question. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with two guests from different perspectives on a bill that would overhaul the Wisconsin civil service system. Under this bill, the state would define just cause for immediately firing workers. It would implement a resume system for job applicants instead of requiring them to take exams. It would shorten the appeals process for disciplined or fired employees. We are talking with one of the authors of the bill and an opponent of the measure, and we're inviting you to weigh in on the big question. Do you support or oppose these efforts? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. As always, during our big question debates, we have an online poll. You can vote online. The poll is linked to the Facebook page. It's also at wpr.org/joy. Our guests are Roger Roth, a Republican state senator from Appleton, co-author of the bill that would overhaul Wisconsin's civil service system, and Scott Ross, who is the executive director of One Wisconsin Now. We have full lines. I feel as though we should get some listener questions and comments in. Let's go to Larry in Middleton. Hi, Larry.
Good morning. The present law says that state employees can be fired only for just cause. I'm opposed to Republican moves to weaken this. The Just Cause law protects state employees from pressure by powerful outside interest groups. And the mission of any agency includes treating the public fairly and objectively. If agency employees are fearful of losing their jobs, they'll be subject to pressure. Being human, some of them may yield to that pressure, and the result will be the destruction of the agency from the inside.
Senator Roth.
Yes, Larry, appreciate that comment. And I completely agree with you. We do not want to change the fact that right now in statute it says an employee with permanent status, they cannot be suspended, docked in pay, they cannot be terminated except for just cause. The trouble is that nowhere in state statute does it define what just cause is. So we went out into the private sector and seeing what other state legislatures have done, and we came up with a very tight description of what just cause is. And let me just share with you what that is. Harassment of employees, physical violence, intoxication, drug substance or possession, theft, conviction of a crime, falsifying business records, misuse or abuse of government property to include viewing pornographic material, and then a no-call, no-show for any 3 working days in a calendar year. Those are the only reasons that somebody may be terminated for just cause. All we did was simply put in there in state statute what that definition is so that everybody knows, the employer and the employee alike, what the expectations are when it comes to job performance.
Well, Scott Ross, shouldn't somebody be fired for those just causes as defined?
I think the fact is that what this system is about is not the specifics. It's about what they want to do, which is to put themselves in charge of the hiring and firing decisions of all of state government so they can make their influence be known on the employees of state government. For instance, I guess you could put in there just cause. Should it have been just cause that when, you know, Secretary Hibbs and Walker's chief of staff went and had a $10,000 donor and pressured Wiedick into giving him a $500,000 loan so he could pay off the loan on his Lamborghini, should they have been fired for that? I mean, because that's what we saw when we had a system where there wasn't civil service protections, that being the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. I think that the essence of this is that the state government exists to ensure that the taxpayers are served, and that essence is instilled in our civil service protections, which say it's what you know, not who you know. And Senator Roth and Representative Steinicke and the Republicans are turning that around. And I think that's, you know, and listen, I'll cut Senator Ross some slack on this, because this is a Robin Voss operation. Robin Voss is trying to ensure his, you know, that he is seen as more politically powerful than Scott Walker. So Scott Walker just took a drubbing on the presidential campaign beat. And so Voss comes back and immediately, Voss says, let's attack civil servants. And so they are in this power play that's going on. It's unfortunate because it's taxpayers and it's civil servants and public employees who are stuck in the middle, just like what happened with Act 10, when I would remind Senator Roth that all of your colleagues, including Governor Walker, repeated over and over again that Act 10 was fine because we're going to keep our civil service protections in place. This seems to be a complete and total violation of those things that your colleagues said over and over and over again. I will cut you slack on that, Senator Roth, because I know you weren't in state government during Act 10.
Senator Roth?
Joe, I got to jump in here. Scott, you couldn't be more wrong on the things you're talking about. I can assure you, when it comes to who came up with this bill, this is not a Robin Voss operation. I'm glad to say that he supports it. But this came through the dedicated hard work of my office, myself, and Representative Steinicke. So I'm really not sure where you're getting your information, but it is totally and completely false. On the just cause end, I don't know what the problem is. I mean, seriously, tell me, what is wrong by saying in state statute that employees, you're not allowed to view pornography on a government computer? The trouble is we had an instance where an individual was caught viewing pornography over the course of a year, an average of 4.2 hours a day. They couldn't fire him. They were forced to take him back because they said he wasn't sufficiently warned that that behavior wasn't acceptable. So all we are doing with this spelling out what just cause is letting everybody know what kind of behavior is not acceptable. And nowhere, I mean, I read you the list. Does anyone think that someone should be able to physically harm employees and not lose their job, or show up drunk, or use drugs on the job and not lose their job, or falsify business records and not lose their jobs, or steal from the government and not lose their jobs? As a state senator, I am charged with being a steward of our state government for our taxpayers, letting them know that we don't have fraud, waste, and abuse. And I think everybody would agree that if you're an employee engaging in those activities I mentioned, you should not have a job.
Senator Roth, you have given two examples of why we need to upend a 110-year-old law that protects taxpayers and public employees. So I'm going to ask you this. Since you gave two examples, I'm going to give you one example. Do you know who Josh Englert is?
Just tell us, Scott.
Josh Englert was a sophomore at the University of Wisconsin-Platteville, dedicated Republican, good college Republican, and he applied to be a regent on the UW Board of Regents, be a student appointment. He was brought to Madison, announced as the regent by Governor Walker's administration, and lo and behold, some right-wing website put up that he had signed the recall Walker petition. Well, guess what? His appointment was rescinded. His appointment was rescinded because he signed the recall petition. That is what is going to happen all over state government, Senator Roth, when you do this. They are going to install the recall database on every computer at DOA, and people who signed the recall petition will no longer be eligible for state government, and that is illegal.
First of all, the example you mentioned, Scott, governmental appointments, those are not classified employees.
Yeah, but it shows the way that your gang is doing business. I mean, we have examples of people
my gang is doing business?
The Republicans who are in charge of state government currently, but you don't own state government. You may be in charge of it, but you don't own it.
Good. Scott, the bill we have here reforms the hiring process of the civil service system. It does not upend the process. Show me where in the reform that we have here, show me where in statute we've taken out, I mean, like in statute 230.20, subparent 1, selection of classified employees, shall be based solely on merit, and no employment recommendation shall be based on political or religious affiliations. We don't take that out. Show me in this bill where we go and make it so that it's easier for the government to dole out political patronage. It doesn't exist. You can't find it. I know because I wrote the bill.
It is absolutely in practice what is going to happen. You are going to have political appointees who are going to be in charge of awarding these merit bonuses. You are going to have political appointees who are in charge of the hiring and firing, and you're making it easier to hire and fire people. So that is exactly what's going to happen. You can say it as much as you want, but, like, listen, the people of Wisconsin aren't dumb. They get the way you guys operate. They've seen what you've done. They've seen things like, you know, for instance, Governor Walker's former campaign chair given a new plum $180,000 job over at the UW. We see, you know, a 27-year-old kid with two DUIs without a college degree given an $80,000 job in Walker's administration. Why? Because his old man was a politically connected money source. I mean, we've seen the way you guys operate. It's not us who have violated your trust. You have violated our trust with your actions.
You want to address the violation of trust, Senator Roth?
Well, I would just say that, Scott, I get that you're not a Republican. But we're here today talking about the civil service bill that I co-authored, and you're bringing up a plethora of examples that do not fall in the realm of what we're even discussing here today. I mean, I think we owe it to, and I'd be happy to talk with you at a later time about all these other issues and problems you have with the Walker administration. But look, what we're talking about is reforming the civil service system to make it easier to hire good employees at our state. We need to do it because in 10 years' time, 40% of them are going to be eligible for retirement. And you talk about how this is going to lead to political patronage. You say it, but just saying it doesn't make it so. Read through the state statutes. Read through Chapter 230. Read my bill and show me where we are leading to that happening. Show me that.
Let me go to Cody in Oshkosh next. Hi, Cody. Cody, are you there? Well, that's too bad. Cody was going to say, Senator Roth, to attract more people and to fill all these impending retirements, that just treat state employees better, and wanted to know really why was this overhaul even necessary?
Well, the overhaul, for many of the reasons I've mentioned already, again, we have an aging state workforce, so we're just trying to be proactive for a change. But I agree with them. We need to treat our employees well, and we need to reward them for the hard work that they do. And that is why we have merit pay in this bill. Not only that, part of the bill, which we haven't touched on, it calls for uniform employee evaluations across state agencies. It calls for DPM to come up with a program, because right now we don't have that. And once we're able to uniformly evaluate job performance, then we can go about and award lump sum bonuses to state employees who exceed expectations. And that's what we want to do. We want to let state employees know that the work they do for us, the taxpayer, is valued work. And if they excel consistently at their job, we want to reward them for that.
Mm-hmm. Scott, what's anything wrong with that?
I mean, in practice, like in theory. I mean, in theory, like, there are ideas in this bill that warrant discussion, but in practice, it is not the way that it's going to be. I mean, it is simply impossible to say that the systems that they're putting in place, in which they are taking away the sort of blind eye in the way that a lot of state employees have been treated, because it protects taxpayers, that is going to be turned over to people who are political appointees to make those decisions on things like merit pay, you know, and such like that. And I think that's the big challenge here.
Now, what about Senator Ross saying that the various protections are still the tenets, the core principles of the civil service system remain, and by you saying that these terrible things are going to happen is just not based in any fact?
Because just because he is saying it does not mean that's the way it'll be implemented. I mean, you know, this change is not necessary. I mean, I give you one example. I'll just give you an example. The talk about putting that it's just going to be resumes instead of the civil service test, which has served Wisconsin so very well. You know, what's going to happen now is literally the opposite of what Senator Roth is saying, because like somebody sees a job posting, they can just, you know, easily shoot off their resume, and then that will need to be reviewed instead of that first line of defense, which is a competency shown through the civil service exam. So, Senator Roth, you guys better put in a bunch of money to be hiring people who are going to be 24/7 screening all of these resumes that are going to come in, because you're not going to specifically have that test. So in practice, again, what you're doing is going to upend the system despite you saying what you want to do. Yeah. So explain to me, I guess, how is having the personnel management be flooded with resumes without any indication that they actually have competency right off the bat from taking the civil service exam and how they score on that, how is that going to increase efficiency?
Senator Roth?
Scott, nothing's going to change with DPM. They still administer. Right now, they send out the exam, they score the exam. Instead of scoring an exam, they're going to score a blind resume. So none of that changes.
Yeah,
they're not going to be inundated with they're not going to be inundated with any more resumes than they have right now.
Well, if they don't have to take the test, wouldn't you expect more resumes for a job, Senator Roth?
I guess I have no, I don't know what I would base that on. I have not heard anyone say that, no.
All right, so let's take another call from Lance in Wanakee. Hi, Lance.
Good morning. The senator has expressed that the current civil service exam is archaic, and he's provided anecdotal evidence that there are folks that have abused the civil service system as government employees. And if I'm just a ham and egger out here trying to evaluate the veracity of the senator's position, I wonder, can he provide any objective information that documents, other than just saying so, that resumes are more accurate and more truthful than our civil service exams?
Senator Roth?
Yeah, I think the discussions that I've had with agency folks, the exam has outlived its effectiveness. And we can see right now that when you have state agencies where their average time it takes them to hire somebody is 116 days, that's far too long. That's why under the bill, some we have not talked about yet, we have a 60-day time frame built into there from the moment that DPM posts the job to when the agency hires the individual. That's what we're trying to do, is get rid of, you know, the exam. The trouble is that it doesn't tell us anything about the employee, anything more relevant than what you would find on an exam. It's just another step we're forcing people to go through. We're losing good IT people. I hear this all the time because they're coming out of college. No one else makes them fill out an exam. And quite frankly, they probably go to other places. The more barriers we put into trying to get people to get jobs in Wisconsin forces them to look elsewhere and to go elsewhere. So the exam, as I've heard time and time again, it's just an archaic process, and we will glean nothing more from an exam than what we do already from a resume, except with a resume, we see exactly what the relevant work experience and relevant education training is. We don't need to put that. I'll give you, on the written exam, issue that they have time and time again is that people, when they submit the written exam, they also send with the resume. So, again, everyone's already sending the resumes. They just can't look at them yet in this particular part of the process. But what they find is that here's a question for a public instruction supervisor. Describe your training and experience related to providing consultation technical assistance on the administration of the USD Foods program. Include where the experience was obtained. Now, that's all information that's found on your resume. So what do a lot of these people do? In the box, they write, see my resume. And then they get a zero score on the exam because that doesn't count. They didn't list out what their experience is. So we're duplicating a process. We're making it harder for these employees to do what these prospective applicants to do what we want, which is to apply for and obtain work with our state government.
We need
it's useless.
We need to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. We will continue debating today's big question. Should we overhaul Wisconsin's civil service system? Roger Roth, a Republican state senator from Appleton, says yes. He is the co-author of a bill that would do that. And Scott Ross, executive director of One Wisconsin Now, says no. We'll continue our debate after this news. In today's big question, we are asking you whether you support or oppose efforts to overhaul the civil service system in Wisconsin. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. A public hearing has been scheduled on this bill that overhauls the state's 110-year-old civil service system. The Senate Labor and Government Reform Committee has scheduled a 7-hour hearing for October 6th on this bill that would do away with the civil service exam. It would speed up the hiring process. It would define just cause for disciplining or firing employees. And it would eliminate bumping rights that protect more experienced workers from losing their jobs. We are talking with the co-author of this bill, Roger Roth, a Republican state senator from Appleton, and Scott Ross, the executive director of One Wisconsin Now. And we welcome your questions and views on this at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Cynthia in Menominee is with us now. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi, Joy. I'm appalled. I've called your talk show before. I'm a 35-year veteran of this system. This is a search for a problem that doesn't exist. We did away with merit pay through our bargaining because it was so arbitrary. You can't guarantee fair supervisors. The civil service test was instituted to avoid favoritism. This is a problem that doesn't exist. You need to define the test better, but it's one way of reaching fairness. It's a yet another attack on civil service. Without the union, without fairness, nobody wants to work for a situation where they have no protection. Through no fault of my own, my job's ended. And because of bumping, I was able to remain employed. I was a valuable employee. This is a solution in search of a problem.
All right, Senator Roth, it's a solution in search of a problem.
Obviously, I disagree. She mentioned the merit pay, but we're bringing merit pay back because we want to let the employees, our state employees, know that they do valued service to our state, and we want to reward them for the work that they do. Now, one of the things we're doing is bringing a uniform employee evaluation process that the EPM will administer because we want to make sure that this is evenly awarded throughout state agencies, and I think that was a criticism and probably a valid one of the prior program. But that is why we're bringing a uniform evaluation process and we're having DPM put together guidelines to make sure that merit pay is evenly distributed across state agencies so that there's more fairness in the process. That's what we're doing with this legislation. But I think the important thing is that we're making that commitment to state employees, classified state employees, that their service is valued, and we're going to reward them for exceptional work performance.
Let me take another call and then get Scott Ross to respond to this caller, Steve in Madison. Go ahead, Steve.
I'm a past state supervisor and for many, many years, and I agree with this legislation. I want to say that I don't agree with the way the state exam system works because, for one, the supervisor doesn't even look at the results of the applicants, whether it's an objective test or a non-exempt or exempt where you actually have to write a paper. The supervisor never actually sees what the individual either put down in terms of writing or what they put down in terms of an objective test. All they see is the score, and they have a party that a particular group of people that actually scores these exams. And when it comes to actually interviewing the candidates and setting up interviews, most of the time the supervisor already gets a resume of the individual. And then when the supervisor reviews the resumes, they're reviewing the resumes as well as doing the interviews. And based on most of the time, the interview and the resume, that's what makes a person hired or not hired in the state system. They do not have to, as a supervisor in the current system, they do not have to hire the highest scoring score of an individual. They don't have to. That's the way the current system works.
Yeah, so Steve, you're saying it's just a bunch of bureaucracy and not needed.
Correct.
All right, so there you go, Scott. Ross.
I do respectfully disagree, and I think that what we're seeing is that Senator Roth and the Republicans want to have an easier say in putting political cronies into places and then having those political cronies rewarded for doing their job, or if they're not towing the party line, be ousted from their job. That is why the civil service system exists. It exists to protect taxpayers. It exists to protect workers. And, you know, if this was such an important thing, you know, and I went back because, you know, I was coming on the show and I like to do my research. If this was such an important thing, how come in throughout 2014, not one Republican who is touting this bill talked about you need to reelect me, or in Senator Roth's case, send me to the state Senate because I'm going to undo the civil service laws? Not one point in time did any of you guys talk about this. You're just now doing it because Walker's off the campaign trail and now you feel like you can get this passed because he's back and a little bit politically vulnerable. I would say one interesting thing that's in this bill, and that's the you can be fired for not showing up for your job for 3 days. I guess it's a good thing you guys didn't have this in place for the 71 days Governor Walker was out on that presidential campaign trail, because otherwise he would have been ousted from office, huh?
Okay, well, let's it's time for closing arguments. I'm going to have Scott Ross, your closing argument first. Why should we leave the civil service system alone?
Because the civil service system protects taxpayers more than anything else, and it puts the right people in place to do the job that they were hired to do without influence by political cronies. This bill is going to create more corruption, more cronyism, and more incompetence. State governments are supposed to be about what you know, not about who you know. And unfortunately, the Republicans, who have not, I think, made their case for this, are trying to put more of their pals in office.
Senator Roger Roth, your closing argument as to why this is needed.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a proposal that I started working on in January of this year, just through discussions with different agency people, and I began to realize that our state has a problem hiring and attracting good employees. Our process is far too long. Some agencies, 116 days. Others, over 200. IT positions and others take 7 or 8 months to fill. That is just unacceptable. Good employees, good applicants are taking other jobs long before our state government calls them and offers them the job. So reform is necessary. And what you see in the proposal, the bill that I had introduced, is a common sense reforms that do not take away from the core of what the civil service is. State law currently says that you cannot be terminated, suspended, docked in pay, except for just cause. That does not change. State statute currently says that they cannot use political affiliation when it comes to the hiring process. That does not change. All we're doing is streamlining the process so that the state can attract more good workers, because in 10 years' time, 40% of our workforce, our state employees, will be eligible for retirement. This is a time for us to be proactive for a change rather than reactive, which government oftentimes is. And I think this is common sense reform that most people will realize on the private sector and taxpayers throughout Wisconsin that its time has come.
Thank you both very much for being here. Roger Roth is a Republican state senator from Appleton, co-author of the bill that overhauls Wisconsin's civil service system, and Scott Ross is the executive director of One Wisconsin Now. So you have heard from both sides. Now it's time for you to sound off. Do you support or do you oppose the efforts to overhaul the civil service system in Wisconsin? We'll give you 30 seconds to state your case. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Do you support or oppose the efforts to overhaul Wisconsin's civil service system? Barb and Eau Claire, what do you say?
Hello. I oppose this gesture. The issue is determining merit on an objective versus subjective measure. The objective measure of a test does not allow for personal interpretation, whereas resumes allow somebody to make a personal interpretation. We do not give high school diplomas, college degrees, or other merits of knowledge based on subjective evaluation.
Thank you, Barb. 30 seconds during the sound-off portion. Sasha in Eau Claire is next. Hi, Sasha.
Yeah, hi. I want to vote in objections of this change because I'm very skeptical of the Republicans' statement that they're introducing merit pay to show how much they value the state employees, because their track record shows that they've done everything they can to demean the value of these state employees by not giving any pay raises for the last 6 years and so forth, and also making the contributions to healthcare in ever-increasing contributions.
Thank you, Sasha. Michelle in Black River Falls, do you support or oppose these changes?
I oppose. I think that the focus and efforts should be put towards keeping and retaining state employees, making it attractive to work for the state, which is not something that's been focused on in the last couple of years. You know, we already have shortages. Correctional officers have to work 16-hour shifts because we don't have enough people to fill those positions. And, you know, I think that you need to make the hiring process maybe a little bit easier, but you need to keep the people in the door once you get them there. And you do that by, you know, not taking things away from state employees, you know, making it attractive to work as a state employee, which has not been the focus.
Thank you very much, Michelle. One more for sound off. Go ahead, Julie in Wausau.
Thank you. Well, I'm opposed to this proposal. I think that it will impact the state. It will lead to increased cronyism. I think we've seen where Governor Walker and the Republicans have been very vindictive. They've removed some of the governor's appointments once they found out that they had signed the recall petition. We've seen in the budget process where individual scientists from the DNR were targeted because certain senators didn't like their findings. And I don't think that the hiring process will be sped up if all of the hiring has to go through the Department of Administration.
Thank you very much. That'll do it. You can continue voting online at WPR.org/joy or the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So far on our poll, 92% of you oppose these changes. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.